Hi, everybody. As Roz just said, my name is Judy, and I am a compulsive overeater, so I am qualified to be here for today. And I'm very excited that Roz invited me, and I don't know if I can quite live up to those expectations, but I'll do my best. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. It's hard to conceal 42 years into 20 minutes, but I'll do the best that I can. I came into program in December 11th of 1979, and I have never left since that day. And I hope for today, and I use that word hope, and I know that maybe Roz has heard me share this before, but I'm like a wealth of sayings that are in here. And the one that I wanted to start out with was hope, because for some unknown reason on that day, there must have been a glimmer of hope inside of me because I felt so hopeless. And I heard somebody describe hope as hearing other people's experiences. So I hope this morning, by hearing my experience, I'll be able to share something that maybe you can identify with. So in those days, you know, in the late 70s before I came into program, you know, I was very, very overweight. I was basically overweight all my life until then. Of course, I came into program when I was 26 years old. I used to say all my life. Now I've been in program longer than that period of time. But in my head, that's how I felt. I was just always fat. I always was fighting the battle of the bulge. You know, the last time I had gotten on the scale prior to coming into OA, once it said 215, that was it. I didn't want to get on anymore because I couldn't take it. I was just miserable. I was so sad and unhappy. And, you know, I had been through the gamut of diets. If it was out there, I was there. And that started way back when I was in junior high school. I had doctors gave me pills. I'm the first person at the Weight Watchers when it started, you know, a lot of different things like that. And, you know, I would be successful all the time because basically when you eat less calories than what you need, hard to believe, but you do lose weight. And that happened many, many times, you know, like many other people, not everybody's like this, but I was, you know, down 50, up 60, down 60, up 80, you know, down more. If I passed the 200 mark and I got to 199, I thought that I just looked like fabulous. You know, I mean, I broke that mark. And that usually was my ticket to ride. So in 1979, in August, there was this doctor in where I lived. I'm from Massachusetts. And he had come out with this thing called the protein sparing fast, you know, and I think you only ate protein. I don't remember what it was, but whatever it was, I lost 30 pounds. I lost 30 pounds from August until October. And at the time I had my own apartment. I had a very good job. You know, I was living on my own. And I went to a friend's house on Halloween night and hung out with her, waiting for her kids to come back. And of course, remember now, I've done well. I mean, I've lost 30 pounds. I've passed that 200 mark. And I'm like Pavlov's dog, you know, I get rewarded for that, ding, ding, and that means I get a reward. So what could be the harm of having one? See, that's how I always got back into things is like, I would always say, well, I think by now I'm mature enough to know that I can handle just one piece, one slice, one scoop, whatever. So that one led me to gain those 30 pounds back within 3 weeks. And that was the most devastating time of my life. I couldn't believe I did that. I had gained weight many times in my life, but never anything like that. And that was in addition to purging. I even purged, and it didn't work that well for me. So I had learned about that a couple of years before, that I could eat even more if I binged and purged, and then I could eat even more. So I was really at the most desperate, sick time of my life. It really was. I was a young woman. I was 26 years old. I wanted a life. I wanted what all my friends had. They had husbands or boyfriends and children. So I had heard of this same person whose house I went to and ate the thing. was dating somebody, and he was in another 12-step program, and he brought home a piece of paper that said how miracles can happen. And she told me about that. And she said, you know, I know how desperate you are and how you feel. There's a number here if you want to call it. So she gave me the paper and I read it, and it's beautiful how miracles can happen. It was about OA. And I called the number on the paper, and that person said to me, and you know who it was from a hole in the wall, where do you live? I will pick you up. This was like on a Sunday. I'll pick you up Tuesday night. I'm going to take you to a meeting. And that's where it all began. And when I look back on it, you know, as I get into program and I gain the spiritual part of me and I see how God was working in my life, this woman who picked me up was probably a year or so older than me or very close to my age. She was single. She had her own apartment, and she probably lived less than 2 miles away from me. Never saw the woman in my life. And when she dropped me off Tuesday night, she said to me, I'll be back tomorrow night and pick you up at the same time. And then I'll come back. She dropped me off Wednesday night, and she said, I'll be back Friday night. And that's what we had. We had three meetings at that time where I lived in Massachusetts, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. When she dropped me off Friday night, when she dropped me off Wednesday night, and she said she's going to pick me up Friday night, she said to me, I'm going to take you to a different kind of meeting. It's called a step meeting. And that is where your life will change. And I had no clue as to what she was talking about. I had never heard, you know, I've heard of AA, but I never know anything about it. A 12-step program, I didn't know anything. But at the time, this, getting back to the woman whose house I had my last treat at, her boyfriend who gave me the pamphlet also gave me an old edition of the AA 12 and 12, which is what we had to use in OA at the time. So I even didn't have to buy a book. And I don't even know what happened at any of those meetings, but all I can tell you is there was some glimmer of hope inside of me that pushed me to continue to go. And as I went, you know, I went to that first meeting and it was huge. And they said, anybody can sponsor? And a bunch of people stood up, and I turned around to the woman in back of me and I asked her if she could sponsor me. And she said, yes. And she said, you know, you got to call me tomorrow with what you're going to eat. And I said, well, I have nothing in my house. She said, well, then you go right now and get your stuff. Here's the plan. So that's where it all began for me. And I did that repetitively. Practice, practice, practice. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Sometimes if there was a meeting somewhere else, the sponsor and I would go out to a different place. But in general, those were the three meetings that I went to. And gradually, and that sponsor had to leave me. She lost her abstinence. I got another sponsor. Through the sponsors that I had and the Friday night meeting that I went to, I was introduced to this plan that was going to change my life. Like, how were these reading these chapters going to change my life? Well, the first three steps, the first step is come, the second step is come to believe, and the third step, the third step is come to believe. So that was the first thing I had to do, is I had to come to believe. I knew about a higher power. I was brought up in a religion. I wasn't crazy about it, but, you know, that religion taught me about a God. And I don't know. I mean, my mother used to always say, you know, keep on crying and, you know, God will punish you or do something wrong or whatever. But, you know, hearing about that was a little scary. I happened to be a Jewish girl in a room of mostly non-Jews. I don't think there were many other Jewish people there. And we met in churches. So it was a little bit different for me. But I got in the third step, the willingness. And in the third step, it says, willingness is the key that opens the door. And by coming repetitively, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, I got that willingness. When I asked people, like, I don't know, like, what kind of prayers am I supposed to say? And the person said to me, well, you know the Serenity Prayer. And I said, okay. She said, well, say that. And I did. And I got down on my knees. Jewish people don't really get down on their knees. I did. And guess what? I'm still here to tell the story. I wasn't stricken down. You know, I did what I had to do because there was some sort of glimmer of hope inside of me. I don't think I wanted to live like this anymore. I really believe, looking back now, that my higher power gave me the gift of desperation. At the very last paragraph in the AA 12 and 12 first step, it says, are you willing as the dying can be? And I have never, ever forgot that. The other saying that someone had said to me once was, I know I have another binge in me, but I may not have another recovery. For some reason, those two things just stuck out in my mind. And I held on to them because I started to lose weight. But, you know, I lost weight many times before, you know. And I remember saying to somebody at a meeting, like, well, she said, well, you know, how are you doing? I go, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've lost weight. But I mean, she said, well, are you working the program? So I said, I think so. She said, well, then the weight loss is just a side effect. None of that meant anything to me. I didn't want it to be a side effect. I didn't want to have to do what I had to do after the third step. When I get into those 4 to 9 steps, writing didn't bother me that much. It took me a long time to do it. I need to get a motivation. And it took me a while to get going on that. Because everything I had to do in school always had to be perfect. And when you tell me to write a paper, I get nervous about it. So I put that off for a while. And one time my sponsor just said to me, you just have to write an autobiography of yourself. And how can it be wrong? Only you know what your life was. And that stuck with me for a while. And one night I was alone in my apartment on a Saturday night, which was quite often. And I remember just talking to my higher power. I tried to call a few people. They weren't around. And I got this message that said, why don't you start that fourth step right now? And just started off with, I said, I was born on January 28th, the year I was born. And I just started to write. I wrote a little bit that night and then here and there. And then I decided who I wanted to have take my fourth step, which is the fifth step. And I called on somebody that was in the other program that kind of got me into OA at the beginning. And I asked her if she would take it, and she did. And when I was finished with giving her the fifth step, instead of said, you're all done, you're cured, she said to me, and now we can go on to 6 and 7. And you know, when I read about the shortcomings and the defects, my thought was, who wants to hold on to defects? And I didn't realize I did. I didn't realize there was a lot of them that I didn't want to give up. Sometimes that involves a little bit of writing too. So that's all part of clearing the wreckage of the past. And then of course, 8 and 9 is making a list of people that you feel you have harmed. And 9 is addressing that list. For today, I live in what I call the continuous action steps, 10, 11, and 12. I did one fourth step. I have not done a second fourth step. I was told, and many people do a lot of fourth steps. You can do it any way you want to do it. You know, to me, the 10th step handles that because you kind of address things as they come up. But it doesn't matter. If you do 100 fourth steps, whatever you do for your recovery is the most important thing. So do I need to have a food plan? Yes. Did I have food plans before? Yes. Why was this different? Because of the other part of the three-part process. As it's described, I'm sure many people have heard, it's like a stool, a three-legged stool. And when you take one leg off, if you don't remove all the legs, then it's just going to collapse. The first step is the only step that you have to do perfectly, and that's admitting who you are, that I am a compulsive overeater. I'm addicted to certain foods. My food plan has changed many times over the years. I did start on the no refined sugar and carbohydrate, also known as the gray sheet, years ago. That was okay for a few years. And then, you know, medically, I changed, went to a nutritionist, which I really highly recommend. But that's where I live. I live in 10, 11, and 12. 10 means I address things as they come up, make amends as necessary. 11, I can do better with the meditation. I can do a lot better, I have to admit. Praying, no problem at all. Meditation, I probably could use that a little bit more. But again, my perfection isn't there yet. And 12 is what I'm doing right now, is sharing my program with you, doing service, helping the compulsive overeater who's still suffering. It's sharing with you my experience, strength, and hope. So basically, I'm just another person like everybody else that was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I don't know why that night, anyone that's of my faith will know we have this saying, why is this night different from any other night? I don't know why it was. I can't let you tell you that. I just have to look back and say it was, you know, my higher power working in my life for that time. And can someone give me a time check? Okay. And so anyway,
can wrap up or you can take a few more minutes. It's your call.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Roz. So, I don't know what to say about that. Is that my higher power was working in my life for that day and making it so that I can be a power of example to other people, because I really totally believe in our program. I mean, I take it wherever I go. I don't lose it when I'm away. I just got back from, being away for 2.5 weeks. 2 weeks of that was on a cruise. And here I am. I'm still alive. I'm still here to tell the story. And I can honestly say that I'm still abstinent. And that's a miracle that happened in my life. So if you're wondering, if I go back to that initial pamphlet that I read that got me to go to the first meeting called How Miracles Can Happen, you're looking at one. And I share that all with you and wish the same for every one of you, to experience, you know, the life that I have that's second to none. So thank you.